Blog Talk Radio.
I was making good money and I was just going through life and I just thought, hey, I'm just going to work until I can't work anymore, so I might as well just spend. And it wasn't until I started to have children and I bought my first home with my husband that I really started to think, wow, like, do I really want to be stuck in this rat race forever? And the answer was definitely no.
Welcome to the Midday Money Show, your regular shot of uncommon financial good sense. I'm Tony Husbands, a financial coach with the Debt Free Divas, and I love talking about all things as they relate to your money. Team Debt Free, my journey out of debt really took hold a few years after getting married when I quit my job and was forced to pay more attention to our spending habits. Less money meant we had to make it work. I was reading everything I could, but I really connected with the Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. There were a lot of great experts and great information, but sometimes one approach or one lesson really seals the deal. The idea of being debt-free, mortgage included, had just never crossed my mind. I mean, who pays off a mortgage before 30 years? Actually, lots of people do. I just wasn't intimately connected with any of them. So a good idea can really change the course of your life. Even if it's planted and really doesn't take root for a few seasons, it's still there. So no surprise, that's why we started the Debt-Free Divas. Back then we were three, and it was just to have a conversation starter, to drop the idea in your spirit. Psst, ever thought about living debt-free? We're still here all these years later, and debt freedom is still my cause to live. But let me ask you another question. Psst, have you ever thought about financial independence and retiring early, or FIRE? My FIRE start is actually in the works. I've actually made a little video that kind of describes where I am, and I'll add it to the show notes. I do love to document a process. So whether it's budget sheets or steps to financial independence, I like to keep a record of where I've been. So as I'm going through the process, it's a source of motivation for me. In the meantime, I sat down with Jamila Safran, yes, that's French, and no, she doesn't speak it, of Journey to Launch, and Aja McClanahan of Principles of Increase, initially at FinCon in sunny Dallas, which was sponsored by Ally, where they offer great rates with no branches required. You can check them out at ally.com. But I need to reconnect with these women on a mission to learn more about their intentional plans to reach financial independence. If you become like those in your circle, these are folks I really want to hang with. All resources, and there were a ton of these, mentioned in today's episode, Fire Starters, Planting Seeds to Reap Financial Independence, will be available at my website. Just head over to debtfreedivas.org. So today I want to talk a little bit about a new topic, and I say new topic to me. My eyes are just really starting to become open to the possibility of financial freedom or FIRE, financial independence and retire early. So I have a couple of guests on that are actually working towards that same goal, which is exciting. So I love to kind of get to the point where I can just chat about, you know, girl things, money, and just kind of, you know, plant a seed. Because first, you know, my mind was blown when it came to like living without debt. Like, really, people do that? And so we made that step. And now next, my mind is blown with the idea of, you know, we can actually be intentional about developing an investment portfolio that actually takes care of us, where our money is actually working for us. So Jamila Safran is a woman after my own heart, because she is actively pursuing her journey to launch. So why don't you tell us a little bit about exactly what you're doing, and we'll kind of get into the discussion after.
Sure, I'm happy to be here. So I'm Jamila from Journey to Launch, a blog and podcast, and I'm a money expert and money coach. And I am on my way, as you said, to financial freedom, independence. My goal is to become financially independent in 6 years, meaning if I chose to not work for money, I could do that. I could walk away from my corporate job. But that doesn't mean I would not work and do the things I love. Hopefully that would still bring me money. And so on this journey, I started to document it. I started to learn more about the FIRE, the financial independence retirement early community. And I said to myself, you know what, let me document it. Let me share my story with others. So that's what Journey to Launch essentially became, a sounding board to share that story. And then, of course, it's funny, things start happening when you start sharing. People get inspired. They want to know more. And so it led me to start now helping other people who want to do the same. I want to show people that financial independence is accessible to everyone. Anyone can reach it. It does take work. It does take time. But I find that a lot of people don't even know it's a possibility. I mean, I didn't understand.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that it was possible to retire early, quote unquote, or not have to necessarily work or live paycheck to paycheck. So I didn't realize that until I saw that other people online and on podcasts were doing that and retiring at 40, 50 and traveling the world. Because I assumed that you had to work until you were 59, 65. So it was pretty cool to see that other people were doing it. And when I started talking about it more, it was from a perspective of, hey, I'm a normal person who's working on doing it myself. And so if I could do it, you can do it.
Do you like your current job? Are you trying to escape that? Is that kind of what pushed you into, is that what pushed you into this direction? Do you like the idea of working? Do you want to be laid up on a beach somewhere sipping Mai Tais? Or what initially, even before you started to reach out to blogs and podcasts and stuff like that, what initially even kind of planted that seed in your head?
I am pretty fortunate. I do work in a job where if there was any place I was working or any type of career I was going to be in, it would be what I'm doing. But I would say that for me, it really happened when I had my kids. So when I had my first child and I realized that I wanted to be able to spend more time with him. And so right now I have two children, and they're pretty small. They're 3 and 1 and I have one on the way. So for me, it's really about providing opportunities. It's about buying my freedom back and my time to be able to spend more of my energy with them. And when I say retire, it's like sometimes the whole perception is I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to like lay around. And that's not it. I do feel like most people who are in this early retirement community or who are pursuing it are very ambitious. And usually what happens is they end up working or making more money than they did when they are not working at their main job and have retired. So my goal is to be able to, again, retire into something I love. I say retire into my life. And so it's not that I'm working for 20, 30 years just on the back end to enjoy, my old age with my grandkids. It's like, I want to enjoy my prime years with my kids now. And that's really the motivation for me.
I didn't realize you were expecting. So congratulations. Yes.
Thank you.
So Aja, you're also a rather young woman and is looking to do some other things with her life beyond just working until 65, 69, 70, whatever the case may be by the time we get there. What planted the seed for you? What made you think this is something I ought to not just look into or think about, but actively and intentionally work towards?
Yeah, so for me, I think it came because I realized I wasn't really the type who could hold a job. I had like one corporate job after school. Well, I had internships when I was in high school, and then I had like one for real job when I graduated college. And it just, I don't know what it was. It just didn't work for me. Like, I couldn't play the corporate politics. Didn't want to have to sleep my way to the top. I didn't want to have to like play those games. Because to me it wasn't worth it and there were people playing those games, and just the psychological toll, the mental toll it takes, I just wasn't ready to do that. And not to say that, I'm not like this big conspiracy theorist. Working is legitimate, you all. Don't quit your day job. Don't do that work, because your work can have some meaning and can support you financially until you're ready, to make the leap. So you all don't read this as I'm never going to work again. But for me, the 9-to-5 life was hard for me, maybe because I wasn't that smart or something. I don't know what it was. It was hard for me. So I realized early on that I needed to do something that was really flexible. And I agree with Jamila that retirement to me didn't mean like I'm, just maxing and relaxing and not, eating bonbons on the couch all day. It just really means to me, financial independence means no one can tell you what to do with your time, because you have the money to be like, I do what I want with my time. And that might be homeschooling my kids, or it might be making a movie or writing a book or teaching other people about investing. So that's a long-winded answer. But
so what's your background? Do you have a background in economics or finance or anything like that? Where did you get your training in terms of thinking that you could figure out the whole investment approach to create wealth such that your assets support your lifestyle beyond just working a 9-to-5?
So my money story is that I grew up not knowing that much about money. I was basically a spendthrift. I got credit cards maxed out, didn't pay them off. Just really terribly
a terrible financial steward in the beginning of my early childhood and my early life, like, you know, after you graduate college. I double majored in Spanish and economics, and I would like to say that in college I learned everything that I needed to know about financial independence, but I didn't. Nothing really applied personally to me. So in terms of my background, school of hard knocks, baby. I mean, I just learned I was broke, and then I figured out, like, if you make a bill, you have to pay a bill. And then stumbling upon people like Dave Ramsey, that kicked it off for me. And then coming into the blogging community, like FinCon, reading other people's blogs, you know, Mr. Money Mustache and some of the other, like, FIRE, you know, early retirement type people. And from then I just started experimenting. Like, I'm like, okay, whatever, I'll start a blog to see what happens. I'll try to make money. I'll, you know, put an offer on this real estate, you know, to see if it works. I'll go and buy some stocks. So it's really just learning by doing.
What about you, Jamila? What was your economic or financial background before you really started to kind of take on the concept of financial independence and retiring early?
Yeah, so I didn't grow up with the intention, like, no one intentionally taught me about money. I just saw how hard it was for my mom, who was a single mom, to provide for me. And so it just taught me the value of money really early and how important it was. And I actually, you know, I went to college, I graduated with some debt, and I bought some things in my 20s that I probably would never buy now. And all of that helped me along in my money, like, path of my journey.
Like, so what? What kind of things did you buy?
Well, I bought a luxury car.
Okay.
Which was very fun at the time, but not very smart. You know, it was like, you know, it was a coupe, it was crazy because I was commuting. I still commute this long commute. But in my 20s, because I had no care in the world, I bought this luxury car where I had to put premium gas in it and drive it like 30 miles one way to work. It was out of control, really.
Isn't that a rite of passage, though? You just, you know, growing up, you have to get that dumb car.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, like, I don't regret it. When I look back, it felt really good the first couple of years, like, driving it. But now I kind of just, I don't judge anyone if that's what they want to spend their money on. But for me, because my priorities are a bit different, I understand that at this point in my life, like, I'd rather spend that money on other things, you know? So I spent, and I used to buy luxury handbags. And again, no judgment to anyone who still wants to do that, because they're fabulous. But I definitely wasn't as conscious with my spending in my 20s because I didn't really have a why. I was making good money and I was just going through life. And again, I just thought, hey, I'm just going to work until I can't work anymore. So I might as well just spend. And it wasn't until I started to have children and I bought my first home with my husband that I really started to think, wow, like, do I really want to be stuck in this rat race forever? And the answer was definitely no.
I'm glad you brought that up about, like, just kind of the things that we spend on, or the rites of passage in terms of, like, learning through hard knocks, because, you know, we've all been there. But here's an article, and I'm pretty sure you guys are really familiar with this. It was in The Guardian just not too long ago, and it was talking about the wealth of Black Americans is projected to fall to zero by 2053. Have you guys seen
that?
That
is so sad. When I saw that, I was like, the devil in hell is a liar. That really upset me. I went through that. I was like, the devil is a liar. Like, why would you even report that? I mean, it's true, but it upset me. It really did upset me.
Why did it upset you?
Well, for one, I don't know. I have mixed emotions about it, because if something is bad, obviously you need to know it's bad, right?
Right.
But on the other hand, it's so terrible. Like, how do you just select a whole racial group and be like, y'all not going to have nothing in 30 years?
It is harsh. And I think about that. It's harsh. It's a projection, so it's not necessarily true. But if you're looking just kind of at the numbers and the trend, if we're headed in that direction, my question to you all is, what are some practical things you think we should be doing as community to counteract those trends?
I think that we are actually doing some of that now. I think the fact that we are all in the personal finance space, sharing our stories and inspiring other people is a big deal. And it shouldn't go unnoticed. And there are a lot others like us in this space. Even if we're helping and inspiring one or two other people, like, that is a lot. And so I would say step one is doing what we're doing, is sharing our stories, helping people who are in our personal circles, and then just helping people we don't even know online. So that's step one. But then in step two, I think it's also giving the information, but then also helping people apply it. Because if it's one thing that I hear often, is like, a lot of people know what to do. Like, they know they shouldn't spend unnecessarily. They know they shouldn't, like, rack up credit card debt, and they know they should pay their bills. But it's just like, they get overwhelmed, and the steps, they are not sure on what they are. And so I think it's one thing to kind of know what you should do, and it's another thing to actually do it. And so I think the onus is on not only us as financial educators and people in this space, but to actually give like the steps, like to help, like to not like just say blanket, like you should save more, but how does one save more?
Go on, preacher. What do you think?
I'm going to get political up in here because that's just what I do. I think if you're talking about what we should do as a people in a community, like you have to get a little bit political. You have to address some of the cultural standards that I think that have fallen. To me, living in an under-resourced community, y'all, I live on the south side of Chicago in the hood. Tony doesn't live that far from me, but she lives in a nice hood. And what I see is that culturally, we've made it a cultural norm for people to, one, have children outside the boundaries of marriage, which financially, it's just utterly disastrous. So I think if we can just not make it okay when someone gets pregnant and they're not married, you know, we throw baby showers, we celebrate, and human life is wonderful and precious. But I think we've become so comfortable with that. It really has stunted our financial growth for these current generations. And then secondly, I think we support art forms and narratives that, you know, talk a lot about the bling and the money holes and clothes, that whole thing. We sit up and watch whatever Housewives. We listen to certain recording artists. Why is not D1 more popular than Lil Wayne or somebody like that? Because it comes down to what we're willing to give audience to. So I would like to see us just be more like, we can't be like on one side, like, yeah, protest, kneel for the anthem, this and that. And there's like basic things like be a father to your child that we're not willing to do. You know what I'm saying? So.
Mm-hmm. And I would just like to add that, you know, kind of similar to the whole, what our current society or the culture celebrates. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is from a place of insecurity, you know, because when you're spending and trying to prove your value with outside mm-hmm. things, which is mm-hmm. like what I probably did in my 20s and, you know, that validation from other people. A lot of that is, it's like, not only is just like your own deep, like self-worth issues, but it's like a generational self-worth issue. We don't value ourselves and we don't think the society values ourselves. It's like, we have to prove to other people that we're valuable. Mm-hmm. And we do that by flossing and buying all these things that make us appear to be, you know, valuable. And that's not what it is. That's not real. That's not the truth. That's just marketing. That's just the commercial engine that's kind of like a lot of us fall for at some point. And what happens right. is a lot of us, some of us are able to get out of that and we rise above. But a lot of these kids and these young adults, they're not, and they don't know any better and they don't have anyone to guide them. So I feel like that is definitely, it's a deep rooted issue that we need to work on.
Do you guys think that material stuff and financial freedom, are they mutually exclusive? If I really want financial freedom and to join this FIRE community, do I have to like disavow materialism, period, and like live in a shack and wear a potato sack dress or whatever? Is it like one or the other?
No, I don't think it's one or the other. I can see why a lot of people feel that way, because a lot of times our resources are limited. So if you only have X amount of dollars and your choice is between paying off debt and buying a new bag, then your choice should be to pay off debt. But if you are making a good income and you're able to still like reach your financial goals and still enjoy a good handbag, you can do that. I think it's all about being intentional and prioritizing. So I like a lot of people don't know how to prioritize in their current situations. Like they want next level things and they're not at that level. But I think if you're at that level and you understand, okay, the price of this or the price of me spending on this is technically going to set me back, or it's going to maybe, you know, not help me reach this goal, and you're okay with that and you are aware of that, that's fine. But a lot of people are not even aware of the opportunity cost and the implications of buying some of these luxury items, what they really mean.
So talk to me about the process that you two went through in terms of understanding that your value as people was not connected to the things that you purchased. Because, I mean, you were rolling in your luxury car. I was, you know, time sharing it across the world. And, like, how do you disconnect from that so that you can focus on some things that are a little bit more tangible?
Jesus! Gee, I'm so politically incorrect. I'm not that smart, y'all. I'm just keeping it real. I'm not smart enough to be like, my work is not connected to material things. I had to have a salvation experience. And I didn't just overcome to Jesus. You know how she say, oh, come to Jesus. No, like I had to, that was for real. That's a joke for some people. Like it's a come to Jesus moment. I had to have that for real. When you have some type of eternal value to your life, it just becomes more meaningful. And you find out that your value is not in things and materialistic possessions.
Gotcha. What about you, Jamila?
Again, I think for me, it was just like I realized at a certain point that I did not want to be beholden to my job and to a lifestyle that which wasn't serving my soul. So it's like, for me, I prioritized. And I said to myself, I'd rather find a way to spend more time with my kids, and I'd rather find a way to do things I love. And so if the choice was then between, you know, buying a luxury car or saving that money to put towards my goals to reach that, to have that time with my kids, I was going to do that. I was going to choose the one that was going to help me spend time with my kids.
I love this. Very different perspectives, but it's still, you know, it's still moving us to the same place, which is financial independence, options, folks, options, and then just having a life that, you know, that we can be proud of, and these lessons can be passed on to our children. So I know we have to kind of wrap this up, but there's so much more. We have to do like a part two, guys. This is good. But before we get out of here, tell us, Jamila, where you hang out online. If anybody wants to connect with you, follow your Journey to Launch, and just stay in contact with you.
Sure. So you can find me at journeytolaunch.com. You can read my blog and listen to my podcast there. You can listen to my podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. So on Apple, on iTunes, on SoundCloud, on Stitcher, and then on social media, I'm everywhere as Journey to Launch. So that's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I have a private Facebook community if you want to join that and connect with me more. Everything's Journey to Launch. So happy to connect more with anyone.
What about you, Ms. McClenahan? How do we find you and how do we hang out with you online?
Everything Jamila said, but put in Principles of Increase. Because I have all that stuff. I have a podcast, Facebook group. The only place that I'm not Principles of Increase is on Twitter. I'm Increase Laws. So you could, you know, I have a podcast, Principles of Increase, website, principlesofincrease.com, and then all that social media stuff, Instagram, not on Snapchat, don't even know how to use it. So yeah, that's where y'all can find me.
So that was a lot to noodle on. I think that at the end of the day, what's important, while we personally probably can't change the world, we can make changes that impact our family. And if everybody's doing that, hello, world changes. How would you approach life differently if you were able to amass enough assets that supported your lifestyle such that working your current 9-to-5 job was optional? It's just a thought. I love to drop ideas out there. Let's plant them, even again, if they don't take root for a couple of seasons. So I have some great news to share about another Team Debt Free member. Mel's Moore just paid off a $2,000 credit card, one of the items on her debt snowball list. So yay, Mel's. Keep up the good work, my friend. This is such great news. Just take it one day at a time and Team Debt Free pretty soon. Hopefully, I'll be talking with you about your FIRE plans. So be encouraged. Debt freedom is possible, and you can join our Transform Your Money accountability group to connect with other serious women on a mission to live debt free. Find us at debtfreedivas.org/transform. Until we chat again, folks, have a great money week.